We are living in a world where things are daily happening at a faster and faster pace. Think of it years ago when the internet was first becoming popular, how when you tried to access the internet, your means of doing so was through a dial-up connection, and how you had to wait for probably close to 20 seconds or so in order to establish a connection. And then oftentimes, once it was established, the speed of transfer of information seemed as if it was just moving as molasses in January. Now today, the internet keeps getting faster and faster. It's always on, and there's always information at your fingertips at a moment's notice, instantaneously. And we're becoming so accustomed to having things happen quickly that we really don't want to take time in the ordinary sense for things, at least the way they used to be. Let me give you an example and ask you a question. You're hungry for lunch. You have a chicken patty, a frozen chicken patty that you want to have for lunch. You have two options. Option number one, preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Place the chicken patty in there for 10 to 13 minutes. The other thing is, put the chicken patty in your microwave for 3 minutes. Which one are you going to choose? 3 minutes or 10 minutes to preheat the oven and 10 to 13 minutes, so we're talking 20 to 23 minutes. Unless you have something against microwaves, 99.99% of the time, you're going to choose to put the thing in the microwave and have your lunch within 3 minutes. Why waste 20 more? We just expect things to happen as quickly as possible, and we don't want to mess around with the wasting of time. But another problem that's associated with this is we also are neglecting the routine things of life, the mundane things of life, because, well, we might have that 15 minutes of fame, and therefore we want to find something that will cause us to have some glory, if you will, something of major accomplishment, because, well, who knows how much time we have. And consequently, the mundane things get pushed aside. They're not important. No one's going to revel in the fact that you've done the mundane things of life. But we want something of great, significant accomplishment. And as wonderful as the advancement and the speeding up of things that technology offers us is, as wonderful as the opportunities that lie before us, they can also be detrimental to our well-being. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 again this evening, and I want us to take a look at an older woman this time. This morning we looked at a young woman by the name of Mary. Tonight I want to look at an older woman by the name of Elizabeth, and take a look at exactly what Scripture tells us about the sacrifice of time for the will of God. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, we read this. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Let me stop there for a moment or two. Here is a couple. Undoubtedly, they got married at the normal marrying age, probably late teens in that time frame. And now the Scripture says they are well stricken in years. More than likely that would mean that they were probably at least in their 60s at this point in time, and in the first century, that would be probable for them. So they've been married a good long time, maybe 40 years or so they've been married. What have they accomplished in the 40 years of their marriage together. Well, Zacharias was a priest of the course of Abijah. The priest, on two occasions during the year, for 2 weeks on each occasion, would come to Jerusalem and would be involved in the temple services. Each day, lots were drawn for a person to offer the incense in the morning offering. This was a great honor, and it was one that only a priest could serve once in his entire lifetime. In the time that Zacharias served as a priest, in this probable 40 years, his name never came up. All he went about was the routine, the mundane things of being a priest and involved in the sacrifices and so forth, but never anything of major, significant consequence. You never find him teaching large groups of people. Maybe he did. The scripture just doesn't say that he did. You never find him doing any miracles or anything along those lines. He was just a priest doing priestly functions that, well, were rather mundane or routine. Likewise, Elizabeth, what did she do during those years? Well, the greatest opportunity for a woman back in the first century, in fact, even before that, was that they might be the mother of Israel's Messiah. Well, that was only going to happen to one person. But being a mother was of the highest significance. In fact, you were looked upon as something, having something wrong with you before God if you were childless. Not only was there a physical problem, most people would think that there was a spiritual problem that God was holding out on you and keep you from having a child. Elizabeth was barren, the scripture says. Basically, for the 40 years or so of their marriage, all she did was keep house and love her husband, support him, and do those things that were right before God. From the world's perspective, they accomplished nothing. Well, let's read on. One day Zacharias is in the temple, and finally, after all these years, his lot has been chosen to offer the incense offering. And I'm going to skip through the story quickly here. As you know, Gabriel appears to him and tells him that he's going to be a father, and that his son is going to be the one who will introduce to the nation of Israel its Messiah. Because of his unbelief, he is rendered speechless. He becomes dumb. He is unable to talk. And finally he comes out and he's making all kinds of motions to the people. But look at verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." Notice in verse 25, the reproach was not before God himself. The reproach was among men. Elizabeth never did anything wrong. Her problem was not with God. In fact, the scripture tells us in verse 6 that they were righteous before God and walking in all his commandments and ordinances in a blameless way. Now God, years and years and years and years after the normal expectancy, opens her womb that she might conceive a son. Undoubtedly, Zacharias has communicated to her exactly what this child is going to be, what the will of God is going to be. And for whatever reason, she hid herself for 5 months, contemplating on what God was doing. During that time, the angel Gabriel, as we looked at in the morning message, appears to Mary and tells her that she is going to be the mother of Israel's Messiah. drop on down to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby rose, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let me look at verse 45 for a second, and then I'll work my way backwards. I believe that as Elizabeth was encouraging Mary concerning Mary's pregnancy and how the Lord was going to do something, she was also encouraging herself. After all, consider that she's an older woman. This was a crazy thing that she had become pregnant at this time. Certainly she had to wonder about it. She has a husband who's unable to talk and consequently has to communicate with her through making gestures and signs and writing on tablets and so forth. What a crazy situation is going on here. And she had to be wondering, what in the world is God doing? And now Mary comes to her, and the very moment she enters into the house and announces herself, John, who is in the womb of Elizabeth at this point in time, is leaping for joy. She knows something of a supernatural, fantastic occurrence is taking place within her. She is filled with the Holy Ghost and bursts into praise. Well, Mary is there for a couple of months, and now it's about time for Elizabeth to give birth. And Mary departs and goes back home. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. The idea being, look, this is tradition. We either name the baby after the father or the grandfather or someone along the line. There's no John in the family lineage here. Why in the world are you calling him by a name that we just don't do it that way? And they made signs to his father, which is interesting because nowhere does it say that Zacharias was deaf and he was just unable to speak, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. Now the rest of the story goes back and focuses upon Zacharias. But I want you to notice what Elizabeth did. Was it a big deal to her what the name of this boy would be? Well, yes. How so? Why was it that it was a big deal? Well, apparently, Zacharias had communicated to her exactly what Gabriel had told him. Back in verse 13, it says, But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Here is the will of God. You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. That doesn't follow the human pattern of way things are done, but this is what the will of God is. And apparently, Zacharias was able to communicate that to Elizabeth, and in that mundane, trivial thing of life, the name of a child, she said, it is more important to go against human convention and be obedient to the will of God. Now, what happened after John was born? What did Elizabeth do that was remarkable, earth-shattering, worthy of gaining your 15 minutes of glory? Well, she went back to being a mother and a wife. We don't read of anything that spectacular that she did. She continued to support her husband. She continued to be a good wife to him. She began to be a mother, doing all the mundane, trivial things of parenting. The application of discipline. John was a real human being boy with a real human being sin nature. And he needed, from time to time, discipline. Undoubtedly, Elizabeth was involved in that. Not only discipline from a corrective standpoint, but discipline from an instructive standpoint. Here's a young man that has been chosen by God for a particular ministry. It's going to be up to mom and dad to train him, to discipline him in the rigors of life and make him equipped for the ministry that God has called him to. That's going to involve time. It doesn't happen overnight. There's no buttons you can push to make things go faster. It takes the investment of time. And they were willing to sacrifice their time for the will of God. Consequently, John turned out to be the man of God that was capable of introducing to Israel its Messiah. All those years that Elizabeth and Zacharias wondered, why isn't anything important happening? They could have said to themselves, what's the use? What's the bother? Why bother being righteous before God and walking in His ordinances when He's not going to do anything with us anyway? But they didn't. They were willing to sacrifice their time for the will of God. And in the will of God, at the very right time, God used them for a wonderful, spectacular purpose. In the meantime, and afterwards, it was just all about being faithful to those trivial, mundane things of life. But that's what made possible the spectacular. We have taken away the necessity of being faithful in those little mundane things of life. We look for the spectacular. We look for the fantastic. We look for things that are going to make an impact upon the world. Have you ever wondered what you would do if you were king of the world or that type of thing, that you were in a position that where you could make the world a better place? Sure, I've wondered about it a number of times, but that's never going to take place. God's will for me is to be where I am right now and do the things that I'm doing right now, and God's will necessitates that I be faithful in those mundane, practical, trivial things. And the same is true for you. We don't necessarily think that that will ever accomplish anything of great importance. But for 60 years or so, I wonder if Zacharias and Elizabeth thought the same and then found out otherwise. No matter whether it be something spectacular or not. God places great importance in the mundane things of life that are in His will. And when it's all said and done, it may be your faithfulness in those trivial things that causes somebody else to have opportunity to do something fantastic, notable, glorious for the Lord. But apart from that, that may never, ever take place. Don't worry about time. Don't worry that things must happen immediately. Scripture says that God makes all things beautiful in His time. Not ours, His. God is working things according to a plan in time. Be faithful to use the time that God has given you for the will of God. For if you use it for anything else, it'll be worthless.